Can you imagine making over 500 short films? Our guest today has done it. Working with the Skit Guys, Emmy Award-winning writer, director, and producer Brian Cates has helped them build one of the largest faith-based short film networks in the world, and now is known for his work as co-writer and director of the Dove-nominated faith-based feature, Family Camp. We're going to hear an interesting story about Brian's journey into filmmaking, and the story of how Family Camp ended up getting made. But first, if you're finding this podcast helpful, take a moment to follow or subscribe so you don't miss an episode. And if you think others would be interested in listening, please rate and review to make it easier for others to find. You can leave a review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or podchaser.com.
This is the Faith and Family Filmmakers Podcast, helping filmmakers who share a Christian worldview stay in touch, informed, and inspired.
Quiet on set. Rolling.
Today's host is Jacqueline Witt.
Welcome to the Faith and Family Filmmakers Podcast. My name is Jacqueline Witt, and today I have Brian Cates with me. Brian Cates is an Emmy Award-winning filmmaker and is best known as the director and co-writer of the Dove Award-nominated feature film, Family Camp. Over the past 15 years, he has directed over 500 short films with the Skit Guys, and with them has built one of the largest faith-based short film distribution networks in the world. Brian lives in Oklahoma City with his wife and best friend, Gina, and their three daughters. Welcome to the show, Brian.
Hey, thanks for having me, Jacqueline. It's great to be here.
Thanks. Okay, so I actually don't know you yet. I've been wanting to get to know you because I really want to see Family Camp, and I will get to see it soon, but it wasn't available in my region. But it looks like such a good movie, and I have loved the Skit Guys for years. So I am excited to get to know you. My first question is, did you always want to work in film?
Well, first of all, I'm excited to be here, and I'm excited that you want to get to know me. We get to have the opportunity to do that right here, right now.
Awesome.
This is going to be so much fun. But yes, I always wanted to work in movies. I mean, my parents did a pretty good job getting me into Little League and Cub Scouts and off the sofa, but my default was definitely sitting down and watching movies. I started out really for years and years and years, I thought I wanted to be an actor. And so I did that, you know, I did musical theater and competitive drama in high school and did as much of that as you can do.
What's competitive drama?
Okay, we got to get into this.
Sorry, I'm just like, should I ask? Should I not ask? I don't know okay. What competitive drama is.
To all your listeners out there, do not make this movie. I am going to make this movie someday, okay?
Okay.
So
okay.
You've heard of like debate tournaments, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, drama tournaments, it's the exact same thing, except you get up and you battle out your monologue. So you do the monologue, you do the thing that you come in prepared for, the next person does their monologue, the next person does it, and they crown a winner. But there's all different categories. There's like humorous duet, dramatic duet, standard oratory, which is a speech that someone else wrote. Original oratory, a speech that you wrote. There's all kinds of different categories. So yeah, I did that. I did that for a long time. My favorite was humorous or dramatic interpretation. And what that was, you have to stand in one spot. You're not allowed to move.
Okay.
And you play all the characters. And it was
fun.
Wild. It was so wild. Schizophrenic. I mean, that's the word. That's the operative word for it.
And actually, so, I am an audiobook narrator. And so I do that. I sit in one spot and I read all of the characters, all of the voices. And oh, man. Yeah. That would be really crazy to do in front of an audience, though.
Oh, my gosh. And it's so cool because like when you get to the state level and you go to you're competing against kids from all over your state. You see some incredible, incredible performances.
I bet.
Especially in the interpretation. I mean, these kids are just wild. In our state, I'm sure it varies from state to state, but in our state, you were allowed to like pivot foot or you could crouch down to the ground, you know, like equivalent to traveling in basketball. You have to really rein it in and make sure you don't tip off the judges if you move too much. But like your arms... Your upper body is all free to move, but for the most part, your feet have to stay firmly planted on the ground.
Wow.
It's wild.
How have I never heard of this?
And they give out medals for this.
Okay. How many did you win?
We're not counting.
Okay.
I won medals. But okay, we're not here to throw out awards, especially for stuff that happened 25 years ago. Come on.
Yeah, sure. Okay.
So yeah, I thought I wanted to be an actor. And then when I was 17, my parents bought a mini DV camcorder. It was kind of like the family, they do like family Christmas gift every year. So it's something that my wife and I have continued on with our kids. Something fun that the whole family can enjoy.
We
so they
the
bought
same.
A camcorder and I took it and I never gave it back. I wore the heads
off
of
that. Yeah, I was thinking, little did they know.
Little did they know. It was really little Brian's gift. So, yeah, I started making dumb little videos with my friends. You know, Johnny Knoxville was really popular on MTV, his show Jackass. Can I say that on an industry podcast? I mean,
I
that
no
is the
idea.
Name of it. It is the name of the show. I mean, it's technically not. Is it swearing? I don't know. You can edit it out.
I don't know.
If it is, but
we'll see.
It's the name of the show. So we were making those types of videos. You know, we would just go and do stupid things. So my youth pastor said, hey, Brian, would you like to start making like Wednesday night videos for youth group? And I was like, well, if you need Wednesday night videos, obviously I'm your man. This is going to happen. And so that's what I started doing. I had a weekly time slot and I had a deadline.
That's awesome.
And I had to come up with content. I had to figure out what it was. I also had an audience that I had to be mindful of. I couldn't go too over the top. You know, it's youth group, so pretty wild and crazy. But I couldn't go like full on Johnny Knoxville, right?
Right,
so,
yeah, no.
So we started with just crazy feats of stupidness and then started getting into some narrative stuff and making some little comedies. And we made one absolutely terrible Matrix spoof one year for camp, multi-part series. We played it in the cabin devotionals every night. It was terrible. It was so, so bad.
I bet it was fun though.
No, it will never see the light of day.
Okay.
But yeah, that was really kind of how I got started. And the whole time I thought, yeah, it'd be cool to make movies one day. And then I was actually at church camp when I felt like God was calling me to the ministry. And like a lot of kids, you know, you don't really know what that means. You just kind of default, okay, I'll be a youth pastor. Okay, I'll be a children's pastor.
Right.
So I didn't know what it meant. I thought it'd be really cool to kind of be a cinematographer for like a missions organization and kind of travel all over the world making mission films and testimony.
That would be awesome. That'd be fun.
I'd still love to do it. So if you're out there, I might be available for hire one of these days.
Right.
I'd love to go tell those stories.
Definitely.
So I went to college. I think I'm going to be a missionary, a filmmaker missionary, maybe. And then got a job at a church where Tommy Woodard of the Skit Guys was the teaching pastor. And like within a few weeks, we started making shorts together and the rest is history. And
so
it was just kind of cool how God used putting me on a path of making content for the church to meet the men that he had, you know, created for me to collaborate with and created me to collaborate with them. And so we've been doing that for almost 20 years now.
Yeah, I was going to say, I know it's been a while because I've seen them for such a long time.
Yeah, so my first day at that church was June 1st, 2004. So it'll be 20 years this summer.
Wow. So
crazy.
How did it go from being something that you made for your church to something that was distributed so far beyond just your church?
That's a great question. So before we started getting into like the feature film space, people would ask me what I do for a living. And I was like, I make short films. And like, oh, like YouTube? No, not like YouTube. So we actually started distributing our short films to churches before YouTube. Skit Guys has, you know, a website, skitguys.com. It's a nonprofit ministry, and we distribute the films to other churches through that website and through a few others. But that was really all it was. You know, they were out touring. They were out going to all kinds of conferences and camps and conventions, and people would connect with them and connect back to the website. And then before too long, probably the majority of the evangelical churches in America got screens in their sanctuaries. Mm-hmm. And so it became a place for our ministry to partner with theirs and to kind of bring a different element of creativity or some levity, or maybe talk about a subject in a way that, you know, the pastor would much rather we do than he or she does.
Yeah, yeah. At least open the door, right? Like,
exactly.
That's what I find media is so good for that, whether it be music or sketches or whatever. It's really good to start a conversation and open that door to where it's like, okay, now we can talk about this without having that awkward, let's break the ice moment.
Yep, Absolutely. You know, one of the greatest secret weapons that we provide pastors, and we've actually heard this several times, you know, we don't put credits on our short films. Because if it goes up in a church, we don't need to know who directed it. We don't need to know who wrote it. We don't need to know anything. We're there to resource the church. So, So many people who go to churches that use our content just think that Tommy and Eddie go to their church. They just haven't seen them yet. they just think they're part of it.
Oh, that's funny. So, I always go to such small churches that I know they don't go there.
Yeah.
I know everyone in that place.
absolutely. So yeah, it's been fun to partner with pastors and partner with churches. We've been doing that part of it. I think we started distributing comedies like Father's Day and Mother's Day and Christmas comedies. We started doing that in like 2006. The first thing I made with the Skit Guys, with Tommy and Eddie, was February 2005, and that went up on the website. So yeah, since 2005.
That's awesome. Well, congratulations. That's an incredible opportunity. And clearly, it's been very impactful. A lot of people, I don't know if I know any Christians that don't know who the Skit Guys are, to be honest. Like, it's just so well known.
They're around. The Baptists love us. The Lutherans love us. If I haven't named your denomination, I'm sure you like Tom and Ed too. But yeah, they're around for sure. For sure.
So it's interesting when you were talking about, like, you don't put credits on the videos. I actually was looking for the credits. I remember years ago, before I decided to actually become a professional screenwriter, you know, I just wrote stuff for fun. And so there were times where I was like, okay, well, I wrote this really cute skit. I'm like, how do I get it to the Skit Guys? They might like it. I had no idea how, like, I'm looking for the credits. I had no idea how any of it worked. And I ended up just kind of giving up. But yeah, I mean, I understand that it does make sense that in that particular scenario, you don't want to make it about that when it's in a church, right? You want to provide the, you know, here's the material, here's the sketch and whatever. And then now the pastor can take it from there and dive into something about the Bible and, you know, give credit to God. But yeah, that's an interesting move. And I'm glad that was an intentional decision.
It's the same reason why we haven't put, if you like go and download a video off our website, we don't put skitguys.com even on it. Like we don't even brand it, because if you're sitting in church and the pastor is using one of our videos to kind of support something that they're talking about, we don't want you to think about skitguys.com. We want you to be thinking about the message and listening to the guy up on stage, you know, or gal. It's not about that. Now, if we post it on like social media, yes, we put skitguys.com on it. And then, you know, let's just say there might be some churches out there who just feel like since it's on social media, they can rip it off of that and then play it in their church service, which is fine. And in that case, yes, they'll see our website for the duration of the video.
Now everybody's going to be watching. Whenever there's a Skit Guys video on at their church, they're going to be like, is the website listed there? Because I'll know where they got it if the website's
it's
listed.
Stolen. Yeah. If you see the web address when it's playing at your church, your pastor stole it. Sorry.
Do you have an award-worthy script ready to go out and face the world? Faith and Family Screenwriting Awards is in the final month of submissions for the summer 2024 season. Top prize? A table read with professional actors cast by Gene Wanger of Treasure Coast Talent. There are laurels available in 19 categories, and all participants get free bonus admission to our summer screenwriting bootcamp. Join online from anywhere. 3 90-minute screenwriting workshops all in one day. That alone is worth the cost of your submission fee. Final deadline is April 30th. Submit your script today for the Faith and Family Screenwriting Awards. Get the link in the show notes or find it at faffassociation.com.
Join us for the International Christian Film and Music Festival, where faith and creativity come to life. Watch over 150 inspiring films, rub shoulders with celebrities, connect with top-notch distributors, and learn from industry experts. Share in fellowship with like-minded Christians and savor a music showcase that will uplift your spirit. Experience the glamour of walking the red carpet and reveal in the extravagance of our award ceremonies. Don't miss this divine celebration. Get your tickets now at www.internationalcff.com. It's time to be part of something truly special.
So how did you move from doing the Skit Guys skits, the sketches, to feature? Because that's a pretty big jump.
Yeah, it's a huge jump. You're exactly right. Short films are very, very different than feature films. I wouldn't even call it like comparing a kitchen remodel to building a full house. I would liken it to like buying a new set of pots and pans to building a new house. Like it is.
Right. Yeah. It's, yeah. It's, the degree of what you're dealing with.
The domino effect of every decision you make in a feature right. film is massive. Way more details. But, you know, it was a shared dream of ours to make a movie. We wanted to make a great Christian movie, make a movie that was funny and told people about God, pointed people in that direction, and more overtly than some movies, like, you know, where Robert De Niro walks into a church and prays and asks God for help. You know, that is awesome. That is wonderful. I want to see that in every movie that I watch, you know, where your lead character does something that reveals the existence of God being as real as gravity is. That's really, really cool. And I love seeing that in movies. But we wanted to make a movie where we could make people laugh. And if you make people laugh, you can make people listen. And so
right.
we wanted to tell them about the thing that we think is the most worth listening to, or most worthy of talking about, at least. So it was a shared dream. We started just in our free time outside of the ministry, and we started writing scripts. And so we started just devoting time to working out features, and we threw so many of them away. As you do.
Oh, no.
When you first start out,
yeah.
you know, you know this. Don't ever make your first one or your second one or your third one. Maybe you make those because you learn a lot of lessons, but not everyone is Orson Welles. You're not going to make the greatest movie ever your first time out of the gate. So we threw a lot in the trash. And then we had one that we felt like had really good teeth. And around the same time that we felt like we had a good draft of it, Bill Reeves introduced himself to us. At the time, he was running WTA, Working Title Agency. They had been the agency representing the Kendricks books that came out with their movies, and they had started getting into some filmmaking and film marketing. They did like Mom's Night Out, and they did Woodlawn.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I liked those ones.
Yeah, yeah, the Irwins, they make some great movies. So they reached out, and they were like, hey, have you guys ever thought about making a movie? And we were like, as a matter of fact, we have a script.
Yes, yes, we have.
So, you know, we went through that whole thing with them for almost 2 years of just like, what if we did this? What if the script did this? You know, just trying to work alongside us and make something that, from their perspective, they're a marketing agency and film funding company. So how can we make something with a marketing mind to the beginning of mm-hmm. it to make it commercially successful? Mm-hmm. And so we kind of got all the way through that, did a budget, and realized, oh, this movie probably cost more than we want to spend. So we were all really disheartened. And we walked out of the meeting, and I said, guys, I'm going to write Family Camp. It's the movie I really want to make. So I'm going to just lock myself in my office for a couple of weeks and write it. So that's what I did. 10 days later, I had the first draft, and it was garbage. I mean, every first draft is garbage.
The first draft's never the final draft.
Don't ever make your first draft.
No.
So obviously, this isn't a beginner's podcast. People know you never make your first draft. So, you know, many, 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 many drafts later, it clicked. And in the meantime, WTA was acquired by Educational Media Foundation, which runs K-Love and Air One. And so they came on board, and Provident Films, the Sony company, came on board, and they co-financed the movie. And that was basically how we got it made.
Wow. I mean, I've heard it said that anytime a movie gets made, it is a miracle in and of itself. So, and then there's always stories of, you know, just how things happened to come about along the way. What I think is really neat is how, like, the skit guys, obviously, they're known for their comedy. They're also known for their depth, right? Because there are some of those skits that get into some deep subject matter, and they approach it from an artistic angle. But, you know, you can have that range of getting into really deep conversations, but also just being hilarious. And so is Family Camp along those lines too?
Yeah, absolutely. Family Camp has the famous skit guys 1-2 punch in it. Everything that we make, unless it's just a straight drama, we try to incorporate our three H's, which is heart, humor, and him. And so Family Camp is no different. Family Camp starts out as a full-on Disney family comedy inside the Christian worldview. And then, as it should, it kind of delves into the matters of the heart and situations that families deal with kids growing up and getting older, parents doing things that make them realize that they may have sinned against their kids and trying to figure out how to ask repentance for that, getting distracted with things that aren't important, you know, and where does God fit into all that? That's what Family Camp's about.
Awesome. Yeah. For anybody listening who hasn't seen it yet, I encourage you to go watch it. I will be watching it very soon. It just hasn't been available in my area yet, but very soon. And I am excited because I love the Skit Guys. Anytime, like sometimes when you're scrolling, you know, and the Skit Guys come up, I have to watch the whole thing. I love it. And the one where, you know, they're chipping away, the chiseling, and it was a long time ago,
God's
but
chisel.
That one really impacted me because I was going through a lot at the time, and it kind of gave me a picture, which is what I needed to understand. This is the process. This is, I'm supposed to be here right now. Like, this is part of it. And so, yeah, I really appreciate that you and your team, whoever it is that you work with, I don't know because you don't have credits, but everybody that's involved, I appreciate the depth of heart that you bring to it and the ability to use art to be able to talk about things that aren't always easy to talk about. Mm.
Before we finish up this portion of our interview, I'd like to invite you to go deeper in our discussion with Brian Cates in part two, our exclusive members episode. When you're starting out, how do you put in enough time and do enough work to master your craft? Brian is going to share some insights on that, as well as tips for directors on pacing, trusting the intuition of your experienced actors, and even a directing tip from the great Steven Spielberg. You can hear Brian's bonus episode and continue receiving these exclusive episodes going forward by becoming a supporting member. $5 a month helps support the production of this podcast and doubles the inspiring content you receive every week. Sign up now and get the first month free. You can find the link in the show notes or simply go to faffpodcast.com/support. That's faffpodcast.com/support.
Yeah, God's Chisel is one of the oldest skits they do. It's definitely on their greatest hits list. And it's a really great message for folks in this industry. I mean, I think everyone can relate to the idea of the constant grind, the self-doubt, and just waiting for your shot to punch through, waiting to meet the right people, waiting to find the right collaborators. It just seems like you're always waiting and has God forgotten about you?
Exactly.
I mean, how many times have you thought about that in relation to your job? The great thing about skits like God's Chisel is it reminds us that we are a constant piece of art, that God is constantly shaping and constantly molding. He's not done with us. The Bible says that we are God's workmanship created in Christ Jesus. And if you have, you know, 8 minutes, I think maybe 8-10 minutes long, but it's a great little way to center yourself and remind yourself that God doesn't leave you, doesn't forsake you. And sometimes the pain of the chisel is a little painful.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. But, you know, I think sometimes as artists, we forget that we are also part of his art. You know, we forget to be part of the creation, not just the person who is creating. So, yeah, it's a good word. I'm glad we got into that today. We're about to finish this portion of the interview, and I just want to give you an opportunity to say any last words for our listeners before we head into the members-only portion.
Yeah. Go watch Family Camp. If you're in the States, you can watch it on Amazon Prime. If you're in Canada, it's on Netflix. And beyond that, it's on a streamer. I just don't know which one, but it's pretty much everywhere. So if you search for it, you can find it.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
Thanks.
Thanks for listening to the Faith and Family Filmmakers Podcast. If you would like email reminders about newly released episodes and more, please sign up at faffpodcast.com/email. That's faffpodcast.com/email. Bringing filmmakers together for faith and family.
That's a wrap.